The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama. In the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Starring Mr. Zachary Scott in Front Page Lady. And now, here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Les Mitchell.
We believe you're going to like our story of a hard-hitting newspaper man, the sort of a fellow who tells the news no matter whom it may affect. And to play the part, we've selected an actor who plays each role he undertakes with skill and accuracy. That's why moviegoers remember his outstanding performances in The Mask of Demetrius and in The Unfaithful, as well as his fine acting opposite Joan Crawford in her Academy Award-winning performance as Mildred Pierce. Or perhaps you may remember him best in the role that he considers his favorite, The Southerner. Anyway, it's an honor to have as our guest star, Mr. Zachary Scott.
Thank you, Les. You're quite right. I do look back on The Southerner as my favorite picture. I mean the favorite of those I've been in. I guess you must have gotten hold of my diary.
Well, now, Zach, you know I wouldn't pry into your personal affairs much.
Now, confidentially, I wouldn't give you a chance. Besides, I don't keep a diary, Les. But if I did, I'd have written that I'd have been looking forward to doing this show with you for some time.
Well, so have we, Zach, and I hope you'll stick around for a moment after the final curtain. You know, we have sort of a tradition of a short curtain call after each week's performance.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to break the tradition. I'll be back.
Good. And thanks very much. Now, here is Van Desitel.
Have you ever dreamed you were finding money? Nice, shiny pennies, nickels, and dimes just itching for you to claim them, and maybe a greenback or two? Unfortunately, that only happens in your dreams. But I'd like to point out that Skippy Peanut Butter can save you many an extra nickel and dime right in your own kitchen. Now, if you've ever had to throw away a jar of stale peanut butter, you know it's just the same as throwing away money. But because Skippy has no oil separation, no dryness or rancidity, you never have to throw out a partly used jar of Skippy. And you save yourself the trouble and annoyance of stirring messy floating oil back in, too. But while you're making these small but important savings, you've got an extra serving of proteins, vitamins, and minerals with Skippy. And an extra serving of flavor, too. For Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. You buy Skippy at low cost, and you use it without waste. So enjoy Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter. Enjoy it soon, won't you?
The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Front Page Lady, written by Martin Ryerson and starring Mr. Zachary Scott. The curtain is up. And here is the play. It was hard to define the expression on Rock Andrews' face as he stepped off the train at Pennsylvania Station in New York. You couldn't tell whether it was a look of defeat, conquest, or malignant satisfaction. But it was evident that he had been shocked to the depths of his soul. Rock carried his big Gladstone through the station of the first row of phone booths he came to. He gave the operator the number of one of Manhattan's leading dailies. Then he went into the booth she assigned to him. As he waited to be connected with Ben Price, his managing editor, the past flashed violently through his brain.
I remember that first day I sat in my father's office with the journalistic ink still damp behind my ears and listened as he told me.
Sure, Rock, I could put you in a soft spot here on the paper because I'm managing editor and you're my son. But I don't want you to become just another hack. I want you to become a top-notch reporter. To someday sit behind this desk.
That's a big order, Dad.
Yeah, maybe. But you won't do it unless you've had the right experience. And learn to be tough.
Tough?
The tougher the better. You've got to forget you have a conscience. You've got to remember only one thing. That the purpose of a newspaper is to print news. And news means facts. And facts mean the truth about everything. No punches pulled. No matter whom it hurts.
I understand that.
The man who had this job before me gave me that advice once, Rock. and I listen to it. Sure, you'll hear me called a lot of uncomplimentary names by people in the business. But you'll never hear my worst enemies say I'm not a good newspaper man.
Well, I'm sure of that, Dad.
I want them to say you're a good newspaper man, too, Ruck. I want them to say you never held back the truth on a story, no matter what.
Yes, sir.
When you do, Ruck, it's time to hang up your hat and quit. And now I'm going to put you to work as a copy boy.
Oh, a copy boy? But, Dad...
I know you were terrific stuff on your school paper, but now you're going to learn to be a real reporter, the right way, by starting at the bottom.
Believe me, I started at the bottom. Whether it was because everybody was sore because I was Big Ed Andrews' son, or whether my father had told him to pile it on, I got every dirty job in the office. When I moved up into cub reporting, they still managed to drop all the dirty stuff on my desk. By the time I earned my spurs as a full-fledged reporter, I could really spot news and write it. And believe you me, I was tough. Like the time Bill Brodigan, our crack photographer, and I covered the Melcher case. I remember the night Joe Melcher's wife was killed in a very suspicious-looking automobile accident, and Joe Melcher stood to collect $10,000 on his wife's insurance policy. Joe had no alibi. But everyone who knew Joe said he was a nice man and couldn't possibly have killed his wife. But I got nosy and dug into Melcher's past. I found out that a few years before, Joe had helped himself to a handful of samples at the bank where he used to work and got fired. Also, he had a stolen car wrap pinned on him when he was about 19. Bill Brodigan said...
Rock, you're not going to send any of that stuff into the paper.
They're facts, Brodigan, my friend.
Oh, but, Rock, the guy's gone clean for years. Everybody's willing to concede he had nothing to do with his wife's death. As it stands now, the jury will never find him guilty.
Well, that's what, in round figures, I'd call tough.
Now, but if that stuff gets into the paper, Rock, they'll crucify him.
Brodigan called the shot perfectly. The story I sent into the paper about Melcher's past made people think. Public opinion changed overnight, and the jury brought in a verdict of murder in the first degree. And that was the Hastings trial. Hastings was a 17-year-old kid who killed his schoolteacher. Everybody said it was unpremeditated. Until I spoke to the kid's mother and found out a lot of little personal things about him. Again, the truth was too much for Bill Brodigan.
The kid's mother told you those things in the strictest confidence, Rock.
So?
You can't write them up.
They're facts.
Well, it'll be like you made his own mother convict him.
Brodigan, it's a good thing you decided to take pictures for a living instead of writing news. That weak stomach of yours wouldn't stand the strain.
Rock, I know a lot of reporters, good reporters, but they wouldn't stoop to sending in a story like this.
And correction, Brod. Good reporters report facts. All the facts.
Okay, Rock, have it your way. But I've often wondered something.
How about it, Mr. Bones? You wondered what?
What you'd do about the facts if they were aimed at you.
I'd write them.
Even if they hurt home?
Even if they hurt home.
You'll pardon me if I look the other way and laugh.
I've got money that says I'd write them.
Folding money?
A week's salary, smart man.
Yours or mine?
Mine against yours.
You're giving away big odds.
Odds are only big if you win, Brod. What you've got to worry about is this. Will I ever get close enough to a story that can hurt me?
Someday you will. Every guy in the business does.
Okay. Now suppose you pick up that camera of yours and let's get some pictures of Hastings and his mother that go with this story. The story that Mrs. Hastings told me and the paper printed convicted her son. An awful lot of guys in the business who never had any feelings at all toward me began to hate my insides. People started to say I'd sell out anybody to get a story. They didn't believe it was just because I thought it was my duty to let the public in on the truth. At about that time, a tragic thing happened. At least it was tragic to me. My father's heart gave out. I'd always held my dad up as some kind of an idol. The kind of a man I wanted to be. That's why I chose the newspaper game. That's why I took every bit of advice he ever gave me. I wanted to be the best reporter in the business. Ben Price was Dad's successor. He and Dad had worked alongside each other for years. Both were out of the same mold. Both had the same ideas about running a newspaper. That made my job safe. I was Ben's kind of a reporter. I punched home the truth without any wraps on, and that's how he wanted it. And things rolled along like velvet. Until one day, Ben called me into his office.
Rock, I'd like you to grab a train and go to Suttonburg for a story.
Suttonburg? I never heard of it.
Well, small town in Pennsylvania near Sheridan.
What cooks in Suttonburg?
Epidemic of typhoid's broken out. Local doctor has the community all steamed up about a new sure-cure serum. If it's any good, I want you on the spot for an exclusive.
And if it's not?
Well, it'll give you a good chance to get away. I've been watching you. You're getting tired. After all, you've been slamming away at a terrific pace since the old man died. Rest will do you good.
When do I leave, Ben?
Soon as you can.
Suttonburg was about the kind of a town I expected. No better, no worse. It had a lone hotel that it said Lincoln slept. I don't think, except for the possible addition of electricity and a telephone, a thing had been done to the place since Abe departed. And on top of that, the typhoid yarn was wasted drain fare for the paper. The epidemic was over the time I checked in, with no thanks to that magic serum. The doctor who dreamed it up was just a local crackpot after some free publicity. Not worth an aggravine. Yeah, Ben Price told me to make it a sort of a vacation while I was there. But I decided that sweating over a typewriter in the city was far better than vacationing in this animated graveyard. While I was waiting for the next train back to New York, it happened. I was looking for a couple of magazines to read on the train when she came into the store. I didn't pin down right away who she was. She had changed quite a bit during the years. Hair was gray. She had grown stouter. There were lines in her face. Yet there was enough about her to make sure I knew her. So I put the magazines back on the rack, and as she was leaving the store, I walked over. Pardon me. Haven't we met somewhere before?
I don't think so.
Your face is very familiar.
You must be mistaken.
Oh, but I'm not. Faces are my business. I'm a newspaper man.
Do you mind letting me pass?
Okay, lady. But I saw you someplace.
Thank you.
I watched her go past me and out of the store. She got into a big limousine at the curb and drove away quickly. I went back to the magazine rack, but my mind wasn't on magazines. It was on her. I knew I'd seen her someplace. And then suddenly it came to me. I hurried to the counter and asked the wheezy storekeeper who the lady was that just left. He told me her name was Mrs. Philip Penrose and where she lived. Half an hour later, I was ringing the doorbell to Penrose's home.
Yes?
Hello, Mrs. Penrose. Now we can say we've met before.
We can? Where?
Oh, at the drugstore down at the station a few minutes ago.
Oh.
I'm Rock Andrews, Mrs. Penrose. Newspaper man from New York. Came up here to cover the typhoid story, but there just isn't any story. And I hate to go back empty-handed.
So?
So I thought perhaps you'd help me out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have nothing to say that could possibly interest your New York readers.
But, Faye Domino, my...
Faye Domino?
I see you've heard of the lady.
Well, yes, the name does have a familiar ring to it.
Maybe it'll have a clearer ring if I refresh your memory. Inside. Thank you. Now, shall we try the library for size? Well, quite a layout you have here. Obviously, Philip Penrose doesn't dig ditches for a living.
Mr. Andrews, I...
Yes. I was going to tell you about Faye Domino, wasn't I? Faye Domino was the wife of notorious Joe Domino. When I was first cutting my teeth as a cub reporter, Joe Domino controlled just about every racket in the city worth controlling until the state closed in on it. Then Joe suddenly turned canary and offered to do some important singing for the price of his miserable life. But before he could hit the high note, somebody scrambled his music with a .38 slug.
Very, very interesting.
Ah, but wait till you hear the woman angle. Faye Domino used to adorn one of the favored spots in Mr. Ziegfeld's Follies. Before she fell for Joe's line, that is, and married him. Eventually, she became Mrs. Front Page. Especially when some people thought she was the little finger that directed the 38 Joe's
way. No, that's not true. I didn't have a thing.
Hello, Faye.
What do you want of me?
An awful lot of people back in New York have been curious about what happened to you these past years, Faye.
I left New York right after Joe was killed.
I know. You didn't even wait for the bullet to cool.
I changed my name, my whole appearance. I got a job and started over.
And then you met Penrose?
Yes.
And got married?
And came here to Suttonburg to settle down.
Does Penrose know you were married to Joe Domino?
Yes. I told him before we were married.
But no one else here in Suttonburg knows.
No one.
Tell me, Faye. I'm sorry, Mrs. Penrose. Just what does your husband do for a living?
He's a lawyer right now, but but he's just been endorsed to run for the state senate.
Gangster Joe Domino's widow married to a man who's running for the state senate.
What a story!
No, no, you can't print that, Mr. Andrews. You couldn't be that cruel.
Cruel? It's news, Mrs. Penrose. Front page news.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Front Page Lady, starring Mr. Zachary Scott. Now, here's Van Tassatel.
You know, here in Hollywood, along Radio Row, you seldom hear sponsors mentioned except in reverent tones. And often they're represented as men with cash registers in place of hearts. But we're a bit different here on the Skippy Hollywood Theater. We call our sponsor by his first name whenever he drops in, and he gives us hired hands a pretty free rein. But he is a stickler on one subject, and that's truth in advertising. So the claims we make for Skippy Peanut Butter are simple, proven facts. Now, we claim Skippy tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. We say Skippy has no oil separation, dryness, or rancidity. And your own experience bears me out. We say Skippy never picks a fight with your digestion, and that you buy Skippy at low cost and use it without waste, since you never have to throw out a partly used jar. Those are the facts that make up the Skippy story, and those are the reasons why you and your neighbors have made Skippy America's largest selling peanut butter. So my sponsor has asked me especially to thank you for being with us here on the Skippy Hollywood Theater, and to thank you for your loyal support of our product, Skippy Peanut Butter. Thank you.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. Zachary Scott as Rock in Front Page Lady.
Cruel. It's news, Mrs. Penrose. Front page news.
But Joe Domino's dead.
But Faye Domino is very much alive.
Oh, no, you're wrong. Faye Domino died, too, with Joe.
Come now, you don't expect anybody to believe a domino can change its spots that easily.
Faye Domino is dead, I tell you.
Is that why you keep your photo in full view?
Photo?
On the piano, yes. You were very beautiful. Maybe that's why it was so easy to remember.
What are you going to do with that picture?
I'm going to take it as a souvenir.
No, you can't. You're going to print it, and you've no right.
Let's face facts, Mrs. Penrose. Your balloon's been floating around on borrowed air for a good many years. It's got to burst sometime.
No, I just...
Sounds like we are company.
Mother?
Mother?
Oh, there you are, Mother. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a visitor.
Oh, please, don't go. I'm sure your mother would like to introduce us.
Jane, I'd like you to meet Mr. Andrews, my daughter.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Andrews.
Now, believe me, Miss Penrose, the pleasure's all mine.
You're not from Suttonburg, Mr. Andrews?
No, Jane. Mr. Andrews is from New York.
New York City?
New York City.
Oh, I want to go there.
You do?
But Mother won't let me. Oh, tell me, Mr. Andrews, is it really as fascinating as people say?
It all depends on what kind of a teacher you have, how much you can afford to pay.
You talk just like they do in the movies. And you must tell me all about New York at dinner. You are staying for dinner.
Mr. Andrews has to catch a train back to New York.
That's right.
Nonsense. There isn't a train for New York until tomorrow morning. I'll see you at dinner, Mr. Andrews.
You leaving?
Going upstairs to change. Bye.
Goodbye. How stupid of me.
Stupid?
Joe in this picture is revealed your daughter.
Yes.
She's the image of you. But strangely, it doesn't look a bit like a father.
But you've never seen Phil Penrose.
Philip Penrose doesn't happen to be a father.
Yes.
No. I happen to have an excellent memory. Joe Domino had a baby daughter about 2 years old at the time he was killed. Would make her just about 18, the age of your Jane.
Please. She doesn't know.
About Joe Domino?
She believes Philip is your father.
Tough.
Surely you're not going to print the story now.
Joe Domino's daughter living in a small Pennsylvania town. The man she believes is her father running for the state senate. Now, what do you think I'd do with a story like that? Pleaded and threatened and even tried to buy me off. I just didn't have a price. Not when it came to a story like this one. Of course, I didn't stay for dinner. That would have been too much. I went straight to the railroad station, but as Jane Penrose said, there were no trains into New York until morning. So I returned to the hotel that once sheltered Mr. Lincoln. There's no elevator, which meant I had to climb two flights of stairs to my room. I was bending forward to put the key into the lock of my door Something with a lot of authority dug into my left kidney.
That door open fast. And don't try anything. I'll get inside and put on the lights. Walk to that chair in the middle of the room and sit down.
Yes, sir. But it isn't a very dignified way for an aspiring state senator to call on anyone, is it?
You know who I am?
Naturally, you're Philip Penrose. No one else has any reason to put a gun on me, and Stuttenberg didn't impress me as the sort of town that would hold any fascination for holdup men.
I came here to talk to you, Andrews.
Well, you've got a very good argument staring me in the face, Penrose. There's something about a gun...
I only hope I don't have to use it. But I shall if you don't change your mind about sending in that story about my life.
You must want that state senatorship awfully bad to kill a man for it.
After what my wife told me about you, I didn't think you would understand.
Understand what?
That I'm not interested in whether I ever become state senator. I'm interested only in my daughter's happiness.
I'm afraid that speech needs a little proofreading. It's Joe Domino's daughter.
No, Andrews. As far as my wife and I are concerned, Jane was born to us. She's our child. And I'll protect her just as I would my own. She's engaged to a young man from a fine family in Ireland.
And if they found out she was the daughter of a gangster, they might not understand.
Far important. It could break Jane's heart.
That's all very sad, Penrose. But you seem to forget that I'm a newspaper man and I have a story.
Some things are bigger than the greatest story, Andrew.
Not to me.
So you refuse to forget it.
I could lie to you.
Yes. But I've met people before with your kind of work ethics. You wouldn't lie. Yet you would ruin a person's life.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Andrews. You've left me no alternative.
I don't know. But this is the bell to the jaw. You shouldn't have turned, Penrose. You were a lot more impressive when you had the gun.
Philip, are you in there?
It's my wife.
Come in, Mrs. Penrose. Join the party.
Philip,
what are you doing?
When you rushed out of the house the way you did without your hat or coat, I knew exactly where you were going and why.
Sit down, Mrs. Penrose. You too, Mr. Penrose. I'll give the sheriff a ring and let him take over from here.
Sheriff?
Well, that's what you usually do when somebody puts a gun on you and threatens your life.
Just a moment, Mr. Andrews.
Yes?
Suppose I gave you an even bigger story than you think you have now. Would you forget about Jane and me?
A bigger story? There isn't any such animal.
But there is. You say you have an excellent memory.
That's right.
Then you'll recall that at the time Joe Domino was alive, there was talk about Joe only being the fall guy for a powerful syndicate controlled by three men whom nobody knew.
Yes, I remember. The names of those three men Joe promised to tell, but was killed before he got around it. Oh, hold it, Mrs. Penrose. Keep those fingers out of that handbag. Now, that's an old trick.
Trick?
Having a gun, hidden.
I have no gun. I was getting a sealed envelope that Joe Domino gave to me before he died.
I'm not taking any chances. I'll just take the bag. Thanks. This the envelope?
Yes. I've kept it sealed and tucked away in the bottom of the strong box in my drawer all these years.
What's in it?
Joe Domino gave it to me just before he was killed, when he thought someone might kill him. He said if Jane and I ever needed a lot of money fast to take this envelope to the newspapers.
Newspaper?
He said they'd pay any price for it because it contained one of the most sensational stories of the time.
And you never opened it, Sam?
Well, I had no occasion to until tonight. And then I thought since everything else failed, Mr. Andrews might bargain with us.
Well, Andrews, what did it say?
Well, this is dynamite. Names, dates, places... Everything about the three men syndicate behind Domino.
And the names of the three men?
They must be here somewhere. Yes, here they are. Number one, James C. Wadsworth.
Wadsworth? Why, he's one of the biggest attorneys in the state.
Once headed the reform ticket, died about 10 years ago.
Who else?
Tom Haggerty. Powerful political boss, dead too.
And the third name?
Big Ed Andrews.
Andrews?
Yeah. Managing editor of one of New York's biggest newspapers.
What? Was it?
Yeah. That's right. My father. I don't think the whole thing began to clear in my mind till I got back to New York, walked through Pennsylvania Station, went into that phone booth, and got Ben Price, managing editor of the paper on the wire.
Ron, where are you?
10th Station, Ben. I just got in.
Swell. You get anything?
Get anything? Oh, you mean on the typhoid epidemic? No, it was over and washed up by the time I got there.
Oh, you mean you got skunked?
Skunked, Ben. What kind of a story did you expect me to get in a whistle stop like Suttonburg?
You never can tell, Rock.
Ben, the real reason I called...
Yes, Rock?
I'm not coming back to the office.
Oh, that's perfectly okay, Rock. I didn't really expect you. Take all the time off you want. Like I told you, have fun.
You don't understand, Ben. I'm not coming back to the paper. Ever.
What? Are you out of your mind?
No, Ben. Not anymore. I'm quite sane now.
Say, what happened to you in that jerk town anyway?
Please, Ben. No questions, huh?
Okay, Rock. Screwy, but that's how you want it.
That's how, Ben.
But if you should ever change your mind...
Thanks, Ben.
Oh, yes, you missed payday. There's a week's salary waiting here in the office for you.
A week's salary?
Yeah, where'll I send it?
Send it to Bill Brodigan in the photographic department, will you, Ben?
Brodigan? But, Rock, I don't understand.
I know you don't, Ben. But I have an idea that Brodigan will. And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Front Page Lady, starring Zachary Scott, who returns in just a moment.
Whether you prefer creamy-style Skippy peanut butter with the blue label or chunk-style Skippy red label, you're enjoying a new, improved peanut butter entirely free from oil separation. Oil and peanut meats are locked together for keeps in Skippy, never to separate. That means Skippy never needs stirring. It also means Skippy has a texture like smooth, fresh, creamery butter. Chunk-style Skippy has crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Both styles give you all the advantages that have made Skippy America's largest-selling peanut butter. Now, here's our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Mr. Zachary Scott. Zach, we really enjoyed your performance. Now, would you like to let your hair down for a moment and tell us how you came to be such a good actor?
Well, Les, the way you put the question embarrassed me a little, but I'm willing to let my hair down enough to boast that I was a sort of protege of the Theater Guild.
A protege?
Well, you see, I started with a summer stock company at Westport, Connecticut.
Uh-huh. And then on to New York, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I later played with the Theater Guild's repertory company in New York.
Uh-huh. And after that?
Well, after that, there was a period under the management of Dwight Dear Wyman, then on to work for Max Gordon in those endearing young charms.
And you did a fine job in that one.
Well, luckily for me, Jack Warner had the same reaction to my performance.
Right? And he brought you to Hollywood.
Right. He brought me here to play in The Mask of Demetrius.
Now you're so busy, you haven't time for much else but movie appearance.
Well, I still take time off for my favorite pastime, right?
Oh, which is?
Horseback riding at night. I can hardly wait to finish the day shooting at the studio to get home for my evening ride with my young daughter.
Well, Zach, we're glad you find time for that, and also that you managed to find a place in your busy schedule for your appearance here with us.
I enjoyed it very much, Les, and I'll find time any time you say the word. But before I go, I would like to say thanks to Monty Margus for her fine performance as Faye, and I'd also like to thank the rest of the cast for their splendid support.
And thanks to you, Zachary Scott.
In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. Zachary Scott as Rock, Frank Nelson as Ed, Bill Martell as Bill, Monty Margetts as Faye, Helen Gerald as Jane, and Jim Hadlock as Bill. Front Page Lady was written by Martin Ryerson, edited by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is also here as your host.
Thank you for turning your dial to our theater this week. We'll be here to welcome you back each and every week, and we'll have as our stars Alan Reed, Charles Corbin, Barry Solomon, Gail Patrick, and other fine stars in radio plays that we sincerely believe you'll enjoy.
Zachary Scott appears through the courtesy of Warner Brothers and can be seen in Ruthless, a producing artist production. Van Desitel speaking for the Skippy Hollywood Theater. This program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.